our scripture reading this morning. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 8, a little lengthy reading, but the Word of God's good. I've heard preachers say many times, I don't have time to read the Word of God, and I've said that, but I think the Word of God sometimes better read than some things I say. So I like to get the Word of God read so you know what we're talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 8. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to the fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Father, now take this word and apply it to our hearts, and bless your servant as we endeavor to minister today. Let the word of God find a lodging place in every heart. I pray that you'd anoint us and anoint our lips and anoint every heart, ear, and every mind to hear and receive your word. Let the Holy Ghost continue to settle down upon this group of people. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. Now, I want to connect Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 with that. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have never preached from this portion of Scripture with the text that I'm using today, looking at it in the light that I'm using it today. I want to talk to you about the track record, the Lord's track record, and your track record, the track record. We notice that most everything that we are involved in today depends a great deal upon the track record behind it. It's always kind of rough on somebody to try something new. Amen? We have so many diet programs out, but I hear the word stated like this, I don't know anything about that. I don't know anybody that's used that. So I'm going to stick with something that somebody else has used, and I know what it'll do. That's the track record of the diet program. Amen? And so we see then that regardless of the fact that we're in the numerical system or numerical time when everybody's number conscious, there's still a track record that counts. We're in a time that numbers come on the computer. But I cannot go to a commercial bank and tell them that I want so much money for number 440206631. But so far, we've built a track record that I can go to a commercial bank and ask for about anything we want and just sign here where you want it put in your savings or your checking account, a church account, or wherever it goes, tell us and we'll put it there. Now, you've been blessed with a track record of the church and the board and the names around here that without any collateral whatsoever, we signed the note when we built the school on top of the church, $30,000 with just a signature. That's because of a track record. Amen? That's because of the track record of the church. A church that's had problems, that's had splits, that's had a pastor every year, or every 9 months or two a year, will not get that kind of a record. Amen? So what am I talking about this morning? Now, Random House Dictionary says that they're talking concerning the word track. It's the mark or series of marks left by anything that has passed along. It's a course followed or a course of action or conduct. To be in alignment as one gear wheel with another. So this covers a lot of area this morning. What's your track record in alignment with one wheel of another, one gear in the wheel, or one member of the church? What's your track record in unity with the church? Now, we see that athletics, they strive to improve their record. If they've ran a mile in so many minutes, they want to run it in a few seconds less. They're continually striving to improve their track record.
Yet the devil rocks the church to sleep with just any old thing will do. Like one man said, I was asked, what are you going to do next year? I'm going to do more than I did last year. Well, what did you do last year? I don't know. I did all I could, but I'm going to do more this year. Well, do you have a record of what you did last year? No, but I'm going to do more this year. With that kind of an attitude, how do you know whether you're going to do more or you do more or what you've done? Amen? Now, Paul said, back to the thought that we're talking about this morning, and whether I teach or preach, well, you just sit there and look at me and give me your attention and do what you want to do, and me and the Lord will have a good time up here, and you'll get what you need if you'll just open your ears and your heart this morning. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul had a track record that everybody looks back to and refers back to it in teaching the Word of God. Every preacher that ever preached has referred to Paul's track record. Now, why don't they use Judas and say what a track record he had? Because Judas built no faith. Judas built no track record to inspire us. But Paul built a track record that he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Not for me only, but for all of those that love his appearing. Now, you are just fooling yourself if you think you're going to have any kind of an old track record that you want and do as you please and then can speak at the death like Paul spoke. Or you're fooling yourself to think there's a lot of rewards laid up unless your track record backs up what your testimony says. Amen? Now, I'm talking to the church this morning. Now, I want you to know the reason we have confidence and believe the Lord, because the Lord had a perfect track record. Somebody said, well, they just never do let me live down what I did. No, that's your track record. The first man that ever ran the mile in 4 minutes has never lived it down. He didn't want to live it down. He wanted to compete with that and do a better job the next time he ran a mile. Amen. Everybody's looking for records. The church needs to come alive that we're breaking records and setting new records and making new track records to inspire others to do the things that God wants them to do, because we are inspired by our peers. Everything you do is motivated one way or other by your peers. Now you stop and think. We are our brother's keeper whether we like to admit it or not. Thing that inspires you to pray is because you hear other people praying more, or you hear testimonies of how prayer was answered. The thing that inspires you to do something for God, you hear a testimony how somebody else did something for God and it moves. The thing that inspires you to give an offering is you hear what God does and what a track record some people has because they give. Amen? Now, we can kid ourselves all we want to and say, but Brother Callan, I just love the Lord enough that I would just love him and serve him regardless if he never blessed me again. That's a bunch of baloney. If God withdrew all of his blessings, probably 99 of us would be backslid in 3 months. It's awful quiet this morning. But my deacon said when we're quiet, we're listening. All right, so you're listening now. I'm talking about the Lord's track record. How can you trust God? What builds faith in the Lord, all right? Let's go into the Lord's track record a little bit. Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know what he'll do today because we know what he did yesterday. How many has had something good happen to you this week? Amen. How many has had a healing in your body this year? All right, see the hands? You know what he'll do today because you know what he did yesterday. His track record measures up. Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah chapter 53, talking about the Lord's track record. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isaiah 53 said, by his stripes we are healed. 2 Peter 2:24 says, with his stripes we were healed. Now, this is the word of God. So we look at sickness. Now, Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm concerned today with as much sickness as there is because I still believe the Lord's track record proves he is a healer. Amen? I still believe the church needs to trust God as much as possible for their victory in their body.
Because he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He went about healing all sicknesses and all manner of diseases. So his track record, look at John chapter 9, verse 1 to 7. The blind man was sent to the pool of Siloam. Jesus came down and found him there blind, asking for help. And his disciples asked the same question. Now hang on, I'll try to help you if we can. They said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? See, there's a lot of people trying to tell us every time something happens to us, we've sinned or done something wrong, and the devil is the accuser, and he'll kill your faith by making you believe all of that. Amen?
God gave me the answer in Romans chapter 7, verse 25, that has blessed my soul and my body and my life as much as any one scripture I've ever searched out and found when people talk about sickness. Your body is not glorified yet. Paul said, I thank God that with my flesh I serve the law of sin, but with my spirit or my mind I serve the law of Christ. You have a fleshly body, and that fleshly body is subject to the carnal things and sinful things in this world. If you abuse it, it will break down. If you don't treat it right, it'll get sick on you. Amen? Now, you can just say amen however you want to. I tell you, inspire me, but you don't anoint me. And I'll preach a little better and a little more excitement if you'll inspire me. But the anointing's got to come from God this morning. I'm talking about the Lord's track record. Hallelujah. But Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil that was brought in by sin. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I used to be condemned because I wore glasses and wouldn't pray for people with eyes. That was bad. No words in the Bible did it say if you don't wear glasses and pray the prayer of faith and the eyes will be healed. I wish I didn't have to wear them, but so far I haven't got up enough faith or felt the necessity enough to get serious enough about it to throw them away. Hello? But God's track record, and down through Christ, the Lord's track record, is that he is the healer. So he had said to the blind man, said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. After he'd anointed his eyes out of spit and mud and filled them full, and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went and washed and came back seeing. Everybody in the town was disturbed and wondered how in the world that man that was born blind had sat there all of those years, and now he was seeing just through a simple touch of the master's hand. That's his track record. God never touches you through Christ Jesus, but what your needs could be met if you would receive them. Somebody said, well, he just touched me. That's all it needs. That's all it takes. Oh, if he would have just given me another shot, I believe I would have got it all. Jesus don't give it in volts and amps. Amen? His track record is every man he touched received their sight. Every man he touched received their healing. Just a touch of the Lord meets your need if you will release your faith and let go and receive it. Hallelujah, it's there. Once the Lord touches you and you feel that quickening spirit to where those kindly spiritual doodaddies run up and down your spine, it's there for you to have if you will receive it. Amen? But you got to receive it. His track record is he made it. All right, look at Luke chapter 17, verse 11 and 19. Look at the cleansing of the 10 lepers. Now, they all was cleansed as they went. Amen? Jesus has a track record of never failing. Jesus never fails. Then why can't I depend on him more? He's never failed. David said, I was once young and now I'm old, and I've never seen God's seed forsaken or his children begging bread. He has never had one. Now hang on. Say, but Brother Callahan, we're fixing to enter into recession. It doesn't matter, as one fellow said, if gravy goes 6 bits of sop, we'll still get the sop gravy. God will take care of his people. He's never failed. He has a track record that he's never failed. Amen? You can believe that. You can trust that. It doesn't matter about economy. Man's extremity gives God a better opportunity. When we walk with him and trust him, he's there. He's never failed. Hallelujah. He's still out there. Everybody's still breathing all right.
Praise the Lord. I'm watching so nobody will pass out. You know, quiet, but you're getting it. Hallelujah. Can't make noise neat, can you? Hallelujah. So we see the cleansing of the 10 lepers. They were all cleansed, but only one returned to give him thanks. And what happened to him? He is restored, made whole. Amen? Church, we're way behind in praising the Lord for what he's done, in worshiping the Lord. We could quit begging the Lord for anything for the next 5 years and just worship him and thank him for what he's already done. And it'd profit us more than it would to beg him. We don't have to beg. His track record is that he has everything prepared for those that love him. He knows what we have need of before we ask. But if we just ask and thank him, we receive it. Amen? So let me hurry on. So we see then the one that came back was made whole. All of his limbs that was eaten off with leprosy was restored. Mark 7, verse 25 to 30, the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman was healed. Jesus said as she came to him and said, "My daughter is sick. She's grievously vexed with the devil. Do something." He said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." She said, "Truth, Lord, but the dogs under the table will eat of the crumbs that fall from the table." Jesus had never seen such a faith as that coming from a Syrophoenician woman. And she believed God even though she was not a Jew, even though she was not in the bloodline. What am I saying? That Jesus' track record is that he will not turn away anybody that comes to him seeking sincerely with a whole heart. He will never say go away or depart. You never have a record in here where he said depart or go away empty handed. Are you listening? And I said, "But I just can't get the Lord to hear me." Well, we'll get on that maybe a little bit closer or farther down in the message. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and give the dogs." But as she confessed that the dogs on the table would eat of the crumbs, he told her that he'd not seen such a great faith. And as she went home, she found that the very same hour her daughter was delivered at home because she released her faith and Jesus never turned her away. That's his track record. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 38 and 39. Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a high fever, had been down for some time, but Jesus ministered to her, and she was healed and arose and ministered to them. Now we need to take some notice here of the Lord's track record. When he heals you, he gives you strength. When he heals you, he helps you to go on and do his work. Don't be like one woman that I prayed for, and she just shouted and danced, and Lord, heal. She said, "I feel great." I said, "Well, see you in church." She said, "No, I won't be there. I'm afraid I'll take a cold." Hello? Now, what good did it do her to get what she got from God if she's not going to return to give him praise? If she's not going to return to keep worshiping him, then she's moving right back into the fear. There's fear gripping hearts around here over certain things that's trying to happen in people's lives, and fear is not of God. Fear is torment of the devil. Perfect love casts out all fear. You don't have to fear walking in God because you know his track record. You know what he did for all of his children? Everything written in here was put in here for our example to show us what he would do. Hallelujah. You believe that? Say amen. Praise the Lord. Now, so we go back to this concerning the sickness, and we go to his provision. Look at Philippians 4:19. "But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by First National Bank." Oh, that's not what it said in the Bible, was it? Didn't say Commercial or Citizen or the Bank of Oklahoma or even the Switch Bank. Amen. Didn't even say it's supplied by MasterCard or a Visa, did it? How did he say he would supply it? Now remember his track record. He's talking to the church. "But my God shall supply all your need." And we're talking about a man that had a track record, that kept the faith and fought the fight and finished his course. And he's writing to the church at Philippi and said, "But my God," to the church, "shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So Paul had a track record we can believe. Jesus had a track record that never failed. So does that make a winning combination that we have the assurance that God knows how much oil is on the ground? He knows how much gas is there. He's got everything fixed up that there's going to be enough to take care of the church till we get out of here. He knows how many potatoes we're going to eat and how many beans we're going to eat and how many roasting ears need to be grown. He knows how much peanuts to pound that's going to be raised. He knows how much wheat to have the flour. God has it all totaled out that he has already promised and forewarned us that everything's taken care of and the church is going to be taken care of that will trust him until we leave. Amen. But I don't know how you're sitting there just thinking, well, I'm just about ready to go. Kind of like the woman said, I just have two sticks here to pick them up, and it's got a little bit of oil, and I'm going to eat it and die. Some of you look kind of like you fixed your last meal this morning. Huh? Man, if you fix the last meal in the barrel and the last cruse of oil is empty, time you get home, if you release your faith, you'll have some more for dinner. Amen. And time supper time comes, you'll have some more if you'll use what you have for God. He's got a track record. He's never failed. And you're listening to a man this morning that has proved him to be that kind of a God, that kind of a Savior that's never failed. I've seen him provide when there was nothing there to provide, but he created it some way or other. Amen. So our provision, his provision, is that he will provide. Look at the 4,000 in Mark chapter 8, verse 1 to 9. They was hungry. They didn't have enough to eat. And the disciples was kind of worried. And he blessed the bread and gave it to the disciples. And they ate. And then he took up 7 baskets full. Look at the 5,000, Mark 6 and 35 to 44, where the disciples said 200 pennies worth is not enough. He said, what do you have? They said, the little lad over here has got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Said, bring him over here, and the Lord blessed that and multiplied it. Can you imagine 5 loaves and 2 fishes and him breaking it and just kept giving to the disciples, and it grew as fast as he broke it off, and it grew as fast as he broke it off, and he gave it to the disciples, and as fast as they broke it off and give it to the people, it grew and blessed until the 5,000 beside the women and children were fed, and then they took up 12 baskets full. He has a track record of provisions. Oh, God, I don't know how I'm going to make my car payment. I just don't know how I'm going to have food to eat. Dear Lord, I like to faint it. I don't even like to go to a grocery store because it sure does stretch your faith. My wife buys the groceries, and sometimes I say, honey, where'd all the money go? She said, you haven't been to the grocery store very long in a long time. And I'll run into the grocery store to get something. I say, dear Lord, did you know that milk was $1.89 a gallon? She said, yeah, it's 2-something most places. Huh? Now, with her the other day, we took the motor home to go to minister's retreat, and we was just going to buy some snacks, some of that junk food, you know, so we'd have something to eat after church and visit with the preachers and all. And we found out after when that bill was told up, I looked over at her and she looked at me. I thought I was going to flip my wig. Huh? $36, almost $37 worth of junk food. And we went down to the cafe and we ate a good meal for $9. We only had 5 meals to eat. We could have left the junk food and Weddles and went down and ate 5 good meals and only had to spend $9 more than we spent in the junk food place. Huh? Are you listening? Oh, yes, it exercises your faith, but God still teaches if we have a good track record, his track record will hold up. It will not fail. He said he would provide. Look, the 5,000 was fed. The stormy wind was still on the sea. In Luke chapter 8, verse 23 to 25, when the disciples was rowing, trying to bring it to a halt, and the winds was blowing, the storm was rising, and Jesus lay asleep in the bottom of the ship, and they woke him up. All he said is, peace be still. But that word peace translated means shut up. With the voice of authority, he spoke to the wind as it blew and the rains as it come down and the ship as it rocked in the sea and said, shut up! Hold your peace! And the Bible said the storm ceased and the lake was smooth and the wind was calm. Are you listening? Brother Callum, there's a storm in my life, and I just don't know what's going to happen to me. Get close enough to God where you can hear Jesus speak the word. Shut up! Peace be still. He's got a track record. He can calm every storm in your home. He can calm every storm on your job. He can calm every storm in your city if you get close enough to get him to speak the word. Amen. I'm talking about the track record. Hallelujah. Let me go on a little bit farther as we hurry along. Praise the Lord. Look at Peter in a problem area. And he didn't have money to pay his taxes. Well, this is appropriate now, isn't it? About 15 looked on the television. It's lined up down the street and even had entertainment in Tulsa at the main post office where the guy was out taking the letters, getting in the last moment, and they was entertaining them, playing the music. How many saw that on television? What was the rest of you watching? Huh? And I thought, dear Lord, if the people is trying to get their taxes in and hitting so hard and borrowing money to pay taxes and take you till tax time next year to pay out what you had to pay this year. I know. I'm a self-employed too and have to pay them once a year. Huh? But Jesus said to Peter, now you think how ridiculous this is. He said, Peter, you go down there to the sea and cast in a hook. Now, I want to call your attention to something. We have to be so specific nowadays that it's almost a crime. You tell something to somebody, it's like we was checking in a school, and it said more than two detentions, a certain punishment. That word, not out more. If you got more than two, you had to get two detentions and one demerit before they could punish you. But really, the context was when you got two detentions, it happened. But we're so specific-minded today that you've got to speak exactly word for word, kind of like the colored, well, the black lady sitting in the church, and she said they was preaching. A guy was preaching on stealing chickens. She said, amen. Preaching on stealing corn. Said, amen. And after he went out, said, boy, if he'd ever mentioned peas, he'd had me. We're so specific-minded that if it don't come right down and say, Denver Callahan shall not do thus and thus, or shall do thus and thus, that we're in trouble. We don't accept it. It's not for us. Are you still there? But notice Jesus said to Peter, you go cast in a hook. He didn't even tell him to put bait on it. I just assumed that Peter had sense enough to put a worm or something on it. Then the Lord might just let the fish bite a hook. I don't know, but he just told him, look kind of stupid just dropping a bare hook, but I guess if they're hungry enough, they'd strike at it. But Peter went down to the sea and dropped in a hook. I feel he put some bait on it. And he said, the first fish you catch, take him up, open his mouth. Now, he didn't say the fish should open his mouth. He said, open his mouth and take the money out. And a few you catch that you got to open their mouth to get it. Some of them give it willingly. Amen. But I'm talking about the track record, and Jesus told Peter to do it, and he said, now go pay the taxes for me and for thee. Get it all taken care of. That's his provisions. Now notice his power. Let me hurry on. All power, Matthew 28:18, said all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He proved that he had all power when he healed all manner of disease and all manner of sickness, when he cast out all kinds of demons, when he provided all things for his children. He proved that he had the power of heaven and earth. Yet we panic. Are you listening? I'm trying to build faith in your life over what Jesus will do. You think he loves Paul better than he loves you? We brought our grandkids from Kentucky, and little Darla told her mama when she left, she said, Mama, I don't know if I'd make it or not. I'm just so sick. I don't know if I ought to go. Of course, her mother knew that she's in good hands, and we'd take care of her here, and knew she wanted to come. She said, you probably feel better. So just go on with him. Me and Ma will take care of him. You feel better. But she came all the way from Kentucky sick. Got to our home Saturday evening late. She lay down in front of the fire. If you remember then, it was cold enough we had a fire in the fireplace. There she lay with a high fever. It looked like this burned up wouldn't eat. I thought, oh, God, what are we going to do? They brought them home here, and now she's sick. And what if she gets worse and I have to put her in the hospital? And then the thought hit me, who do you serve? Where's your faith? And I said, honey, let's pray for her. Knelt right down there on the floor in front of the fireplace. She lay there burning up with fever. Touched God. Hallelujah. Knowing that his track record was that he healed all manner of disease. She went to sleep immediately. When she woke up from her sleep, she sweated and broke the fever. Wasn't sick anymore while she was here. What am I talking about? I'm talking about something to build faith on the track record that you know Jesus Christ never fails. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves you as much as he loved Paul. He loves you as much as he loved Peter. He loves you as much as he loved any disciple. But it's our rotten laziness that we got insurance. It's just easier to go to the doctor. We think that's a lie of the devil. It's a lot easier to pray through and touch God than it is to wait 4 hours on a doctor and then go to the hospital. If you ever go to this emergency room out there, honey, you better have patience or you'll have a cussing fit. You can sit 6 or 8 hours in the emergency room waiting to get a room, waiting to get taken care of. They got to have your name, address, social security number, know if you got insurance or any money. It doesn't matter too much how you're bleeding. Hello? You're kind of talking about the hospital. Yeah, I wish we had another one so it'd be competitive so they'd have to get on the ball. Amen? I'm talking about the Lord's track record. When the moment we touch him and release our faith, there's no waiting. The waiting is getting ourselves in shape to do it. Hallelujah. So he moved on. He proved it by healing. Concerning his death, now he said, you don't take my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. And he proved that, because when they crucified him and put him in the grave and sealed it up, the third day he was still walking around. He raised it back up. He come alive and then stood over death, hell, and the grave with the keys of victory over death, hell, and the grave and said, because I live, you shall live also. Hallelujah. Give us assurance that he brought life and more abundantly to us, and he wants us to live that way. Brother, God does not want us to be like a beggar wino. God wants us to be the head, not the tail. God wants to be above and not beneath. God wants us to be blessed and not cursed. Woo, glory to God, that's his record. That's what he died for. That's what he gave his life for. That's what he came to this world for, to meet your needs. If you've got your confidence in something else, you can just sit there and starve to death. But his track record is that he blesses everybody that's been blessed, that wants to be blessed, that will let him bless them, that'll trust him. Hallelujah. You may shoot me for saying this, but just load your barrels and your guns, because I'm going to say it. I appreciate the change in Joe Rector's life since he's been in this church. I saw him when he first came, when some of our Sunday night services scared him until if it had been a door, he'd probably went out. I saw him go through bankruptcy. I'm saying this to say something else. Yet I watched him even through bankruptcy. He made $100, he brought $10 tithe. If he made $1,000, he brought $100 tithe. I've watched it. He said, I want you. And God had gave him a plan. He said, God gave it to me. I saw it. And I wrote it out like God gave it to me. You can call it a pyramid if you want to, but it's not a pyramid. God gave him a multi-marketing plan to sell his pictures. Neighbor, I think the language of the Holy Ghost is still visions and dreams and ideas if we'll listen to him and let him show us a few things. If you'd use some of the ideas God put in your head, you would have had money today. You would have had your total life changed. I would have. Everybody else would. But we don't listen to the Holy Ghost when he puts ideas. We're afraid people will criticize. They're going to criticize if you do, and they're going to criticize if you don't. Just an example the other day, drove a Cadillac out to the shopping center. Ladies come out and she said, your car is dirty. I said, I know it. Tell my wife to wash. She said, that's not her job, it's yours. They knew me, but I didn't know them. But I went and washed the car. Since Callahan hadn't, so I went and washed it. But you know what she said when she got in the car the first time? I'd washed it and fixed it up and it was all clean. Had some grandkids in there that got the seats dirty and a little gum on the seats, you know. And the first thing she got in the car, she said, you didn't clean the seats. Never said anything about the. What am I saying?
I'm saying that we've got ourselves in such a negative attitude that we're always looking for the wrong and never looking for the right, and therefore we're in a critical station and a critical place, and we want to criticize rather than complain, rather than brag and compliment God. I don't care what you call what Joe Rector's doing, or any of you doing, as long as it's legal and you get approval on it, I hope you make a million. If you make 10 million, I'll get one of them. Amen? And God gives you something that he wants to bless, and he starts multiplying you. Stay off of them. Let them be blessed. Hallelujah. It's too much criticism. When one starts getting blessed, somebody says, well, that's crooked. I wouldn't get in that. Why, if I thought I could sell Amway and get enough people under me without affecting my ministry, where I could have $2,000 or $3,000 a month retirement, but I'm not going to let anything come between my ministry. That's mine. I'm not in any of that, because my job is to pastor and feed you. I don't want anything illegal, gambling, pyramids of that sort. But when you find something that'll make you some money, get with it. If I could buy a horse for $2 and sell him for $500, I'd buy him. Wouldn't you? Say, well, you're crooked. I am not. If the man wants to pay $500 for him, I'd take it. We're talking about business for God. I'm talking about the Lord's track record. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not going to get finished. I see that clock's just moving on around. But his power was. He came and even touched a mirror as they stood before him. Listen, he said as he walked and that man lay, that boy lay in the casket, Jesus just touched it, and the Bible said the dead raised up. Brother, you talk about causing commotion. What would you do if you was carrying a casket and six pallbearers carrying him? Somebody walk in front of him and touch the bier and that dead man. Somebody'd get dumped on the ground, wouldn't he, around here? Huh? Just raised right up straight. Listen to what it says. He came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And they delivered him to his mother. As a track record, Jesus never even went to a funeral but thought he raised the dead. Hallelujah. Look at John 11, verse 43 to 44. When he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus come out of the grave, out of the tomb, bound hand and foot, and with the grave clothes, his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to Mary and to Martha, loose him and let him go. And we find that Lazarus was alive. So his power is still the same today. He can raise the dead. Guy told me a story of the other day of a man that was 88 or 89 years old, something like that. The minister's retreat said this man died and the people were still praying. I mean, was it at the minister's retreat? I think it was. And said, as he died, they began to holler for him to pray for him. It might have been right here, one of the preachers telling. And he said to him, when he raised up, the Lord brought him back to life. And he raised up and said, I wish you Pentecostal people would quit praying. I crossed over and you brought me back. Twice it happened. He said, when he was raised a second time, said, don't bring me back again. Now, I've stood over people that said that. I've stood over people that died, but they said, don't bring me back. If I die, let me go on. I'd rather be with the Lord. I'm talking about the power of God, the Word of God. Jesus said this in John 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For I go away, the comfort will not come unto you, but if I depart, I'll send him unto you. He kept his word. He got back here. His word's true. Whatever he said, you can depend on it. For Acts 2, 1 to 4 said, when the day of Pentecost is fully come, it goes in to tell you, there's all one place, and suddenly there were all a sound as a rushing mighty wind came. It filled the house. It's all filled the Holy Ghost. They all began to speak another tongue. The Holy Ghost came back because Jesus said, if I go, I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter. He kept his word. He sent him back, and he's abiding with us forever. Hallelujah. They were all filled. What do we have to look forward to? Jesus said again in John 14, verse 1 to 3, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Brother, I know that's going to happen because his track record is proven. His word's true. I can check it from Genesis to Revelation. He's never let me down. He's never lied. He's never represented a falsehood. I look for him because he went. The Holy Ghost got back. He's there. I'm looking for him to come again because he said he would. It could be any time. I really sincerely, according to all prophecy, I understand and all the word of God and the mathematical years and the 6,000 years and the 70th week of Daniel, Ezekiel 38 and 39, and all of these that you study out. I just rather doubt if the church gets through 1984. I doubt if we make it through 1984. I believe it's that close. Say, preacher, are you prophesying? No, I'm telling you, according to the chronological table, we're living in the last moments of the 6,000th year when the 7,000th year will be a millennial reign. It's that close. Everything you figure out comes right down to it. Jewish calendar, and I'm not on prophecy, but Jewish calendar is several years ahead of ours. And we're in 1983. That's 17 years till the 6,000th year is up. And if we got to have 7 years tribulations between that, that would cut it down to 10 years. And if a Jewish calendar's just a little bit ahead of us, it could cut it down to 1 year or less. And I know it's going to happen because his track record proves it. Amen. What are you talking about? Jesus' track record proved his word, his power, his love, all of that. It proved he paid the bill. He kept his word. He proved he was who he said he was and what he said he was. But now, let's close and bring this down about the last 5 minutes. What's your track record? Are you faithful? Do we have a tendency in America today that, bless God, I don't have to go to church? Why would Jesus have Hebrews 10:25 written if he didn't want you in church? He said, forsake not to assemble yourselves together. Why would he build a tabernacle in the wilderness and carry a tabernacle all the way through and ordain a local church if he didn't want you there? See, if your track record don't measure up, you can't expect. Don't tell me I've got faith to believe God for anything if your track record's not right. Your heart condemns you. If your heart condemns you, you don't have confidence. You have to get that heart fixed up before you have confidence with God. Now, I'm going to say some things in closing that may provoke you just a little bit. But you can't just lay home and watch television anytime you get ready and expect God to meet your need when you call on him. Rather, I've just got a chain series of programs I've got to watch and pray them out of it. Yeah, and you're praying yourself right out of church. Amen? God wants us to come to church more in the last days than we did in the beginning. We turned it around backwards. He said, even so much the more as you see the days approaching. What's he talking about? They have time to get it all in there. But the first requirement of a steward is to be faithful. And Proverbs tells us what it is to have confidence in an unfaithful man. In a time of trouble, it's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Nothing but a pain in the neck. Bless God, I can do anything you want to. And it's kind of like the guy said the other day, he heard a black man preaching on the radio. And they just get a little plainer than we do. And this black man was preaching, and he said, and he, of course, now I don't call him this, but because I think there's niggers and white people, and there's niggers and black people. Amen? You don't have to be black to be a nigger. Amen? So he said to his people preaching to him, said, you niggers out there, he said, you eat that old fat pork, you eat that old greasy sausage, you eat that old fat ham, and then you go to bed, and you have the audacity to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, Pastor, I've got gas. Would you pray for me? He said, pray for yourself. You ate it, and you knew you wasn't supposed to eat it. He said, don't call me up at 3 o'clock. Just keep your gas and pray yourself. Now, I didn't call you niggers, and I didn't tell you not to call me up. I told you what he said. Now, what's your track record? No, I might as well just be honest with you.
It's a lot harder for me to believe God when you call me to pray for you when you're unfaithful and ain't you right and don't pray, live like the devil. It's pretty hard to come to your house or come to your hospital room or wherever you are to believe God. But when you're faithful to God, when your track record's good, when you're faithful to God, when you realize, when I'm living holy before God, then I know I can touch God for you because I know His track record. But it's pretty hard to tell you there's a curse on you. But I've prayed for a few when I knew there was a curse on them. I just prayed to go through the motions. Hello? Because God says if you're I just had to do this. No, that's not what the Bible said to do with them. I don't care if Aunt Susie or Uncle John or whoever's in trouble. It didn't say your tithes went there. Your tithes go into the storehouse. And this church has a storehouse plan set up. I don't get all the tithes. It's a storehouse for the ministry of the church. He said, do that there might be meat in my house and you might have something when you come here. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you for the two amens. I'll preach on anyway. Hallelujah. God's word is truth. And your track record must measure up. Is your word true? If a man is not as good as his word, he can't be trusted either by God or by man. Is your word good? Now I know occasionally people will forget and won't keep an appointment. But if your word's out, correct it, straighten it out, or be there. Hallelujah. Oh, these elders kind of get upset at me sometimes, and youth leaders and all. I'm a sticker because on starting on time because one man said to me years ago when we first started, start at 7:30. The advertised start at 7:30, and we wait till 7:45. He said, preacher, you might as well lie about one thing as another. If you say you're going to start at 7:30, you're a liar if you start at 7:45. And I've never forgot that. And I'll be right up here like a ugly on an ape. When a leader's standing around here looking for something to do at 7:30 and we don't get started. Because I always remember what he said. Is your word good? So I'll pay you next Thursday. If you don't have it next Thursday, you ought to call him and make arrangements. Your word ought to be good. Remember, you build up by continuing and you lose by dropping out. Remind you of a scripture I used last Sunday, Ezekiel 18, verse 24-28. It says, talking to us concerning the righteous and the wicked. Now, it's real easy for us to think about a wicked man coming in here and getting saved and all of his sins being forgotten. But remember what I said last Sunday night, concerning conditional security. He said, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespasses that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Remember I said if I had to backslide today, go back and sin, my 34 years of ministry would all go down the drain, they'd all be wiped out, be forgotten. I wouldn't have any rewards. But even if I come back to God a year later and got saved, I'd still go to heaven without all those rewards. They're wiped away. Dangerous thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. Malachi chapter 3 says bring your tithes. Hebrews 7 tells the Levites that fill the office of priesthood they have a command to take them, and you're blessed if you do and you're cursed if you don't. Now God's track record is he wants you to be blessed. Your blessing is according to Deuteronomy chapter 28. He said these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. I'll make you the head and not the tail. You'll be above and not beneath. You'll loan and not borrow. You'll be blessed in the store, and you're blessed in your basket. The food of your body will be blessed. The food of your field will be blessed. Everything you touch will be blessed if you follow God's plan and you have the proper track record. And if we can't believe that, Brother Baldwin, we might as well throw the rest of it away. Say, preacher, you're just preaching prosperity. No, I'm preaching faithfulness. I'm preaching set a track record. Reason Jesus knew the Father would take care of him, he had a track record. Reason Jesus knew he could call 12 legions of angels or more, he kept a track record. He stayed in contact with the Father. Reason you have faith is because of your track record. You know what Jesus will do tomorrow because you knew what he's doing today. Bow your heads, please. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for the privilege of ministering the Word of God to people, to our people that you've placed us over. I praise you for your Word. Lord, I praise you for the love that we feel this morning. I praise you for the greatness of God. I pray weave us together today by the divine Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. While the heads are bowed for just a moment again, there's an unsaved one here this morning. You don't know Jesus Christ. You'd like to march down that aisle. Would you meet me down here and let the Lord touch your life this morning? Let us minister to you. You come, anybody, anywhere. Right? How many saints are here with me and you say, Brother Kelly and I really have a desire more than ever before in my life to keep my track record perfect with God? Will you lift your hand with me and say yes? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I haven't preached at you this morning. I've preached for you. Well, I firmly believe that God wants to show his love and his power to the church more in 83 than he's ever did it before. When people are falling by the wayside, the economy's gone down, inflation almost caught us off guard, yet man's goof-ups is God's opportunity to prove his power, prove his provision, his love. God bless you this morning. I hope you've got something from this morning that will help you and let you know. Now, I just mentioned one case. I didn't mention one case to be partial. I just mentioned one because time is so limited. We've got several people in the church that's invested and selling things on the side. I have one word to all of you. Don't let anything come between you and your consecration with God. And don't do anything that's illegal or under the table. Doesn't matter how much it'll pay you, what you can make. Do it all in the light of the Lord and above board, and keep your consecration with God, and God will join you in your business. God will join you in your business. But he'll get out of ship if you do it dishonest or illegal, because his word comes back to obey the laws of the land. Amen? And he'll bless you for doing it. Would you stand with us? No, got something. Wait just a minute. I forgot.